You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning to you. Welcome to the program. Friday morning, the last one for the week, and it's been a busy week and a fun week as well. We're going to continue that today with a lot to get through. Thanks for joining us on 1170 SEN in Sydney and, of course, on the SEN app. You know the drill, 0457 736 736. If it's easier for you to call, do so, 1300 01 1170. So the protocol here is you call, we drop everything, put you to air. It's that simple. We just stop. Well, if I'm chatting to somebody, I'm not going to be that rude, as in a special guest. And I've got a couple coming up today, but you take priority. So if you'd like to pick up the phone, have your say on any of the sporting issues around us today or how you ended up yesterday, let me know. 1300 01 1170. The forecast for our Sydney listeners: a little bit cooler today, but still up into the high 20s, 27, in fact, for the city, 28 in the west. Partly cloudy tomorrow, and there could be some showers around on Sunday. So that's the forecast ahead of us weather-wise. What's ahead of us on the weekend? Well, the BBL final swing into action as of tonight, and then they really get going. But the issue that is being reported in the News Limited papers this morning on the back page of the Daily Telly about the players and the franchises being worried about being mic'd up is a head scratcher to me, a complete head scratcher. I understand why the players and the clubs are worried, and I understand why the broadcasters are worried about players being mic'd up if they're being fined, which they are, for inadvertently swearing or cracking a joke. But I don't understand why on earth Cricket Australia would even think about taking this action. I don't give a rat's if it's part of their code of conduct. What planet are they living on? The broadcasters give them the money, a lot of it. And to take away that access to the fans, which is one of the beauties of BBL and live sport, is just dumb. And it'll come back to bite them big time. Cricket Australia, wake up. Get with the program. If somebody inadvertently, Moses Enriquez, swears under his breath, that's your problem. That's not his problem. It's not the broadcaster's problem. And you know what you should say about your problem? Oh, well, let's just move on. What they do is let's fine him $5,000 and let's put this whole thing at risk. What are they thinking? What we'll do throughout the course of the program is explain that a little bit more about how that actually works in live sport. Brooksy's with me again today. He's worked in a lot of live TV sports, so have I, obviously, and we can tell you the process of how it unfolds, and it'll make you scratch your head even more. I mean, Cricket Australia have been absolutely blessed this season because they finally got their head around how to get BBL back on track, and they should be given the credit for that. And the players are doing absolutely everything. The broadcasters are doing absolutely everything. We broadcast BBL right here on SEN, and we love it. We are all about giving you access, and punters want more bang for their buck. So if these guys sitting around in headquarters at Jollymont think that it's a smart idea to try and take that off the table, then boy, oh boy, do they need to turn the lights on down there and start living in the real world, because they'll wake up one day and the broadcasters will say, see you later. We'll take our money with us. If you're not letting us have this kind of access, you're kidding yourselves. So that's one of the issues that we can talk about today. We don't want to get too heavy today. It's Friday, but gee, we started heavy, Brooksy. The test team will be heading off to India and the Australian Open final. So Brett Phillips will talk to us about that with the men's semis coming up. We'll get some race tips with Chris Nelson and Sydney FC back on the winners list. Ryan Grant will be joining us. And also a very special guest this morning beaming in live via Pipeline, or on the North Shore of Hawaii, Jack Robinson. Third on the world tour last year with two wins on his rookie year, essentially, because his real rookie year was postponed because of the pandemic. Is there a more typical surfer than Jack Robinson? If you haven't heard of him, you're going to get to know a little bit about him. But I reckon he's the most typical surfer that you've ever seen or heard. He came into the surfing world as a 12-year-old kid. In fact, he was ranked or thought of as the best 12-year-old surfer on the planet. I don't know how you do that. Think of how many Groms are out there and how on earth you try and work that out. But this guy was a surfing prodigy. And by the time he was 15, he was really, in inverted commas, making waves around the world. Just have a listen to this. So we dug out this interview that they did with him, a bit of a hype reel that they did with him back then when he's 15 years of age. He's got a bowl cut and it's just a shock of blonde hair. He grew up and lived in Margaret River. I mean, it's ticking all the typical surfer boxes. Have a listen to this.
At some of the best surf spots in the world, you will find a little guy with bright blonde hair and a unique haircut. When this young gun hits the water, even some of the seasoned pros shake their heads in dismay. This 15-year-old is already regarded by many as the best young surfer on the planet.
I'm Jet Robinson from Margaret River in Western Australia.
I'm Jack Robinson from Margaret River in West Australia, and that's the best that he had. Like I say, more typical. So if you just shut your eyes and now what you know off the back of that little snippet there, he's the little kid with the shock of blonde hair and the bowl cut and the image of him in his little weddy with his little board running down out to just carve up some little waves. I mean, it's just as typical surfer as you're going to get. And you fast forward 9 years, he's living the typical surfer's life. He's on the North Shore at the moment, waiting for Pipeline to start. He had two wins last year, finished third in the World Championship, and he'll go up against Kelly Slater, who's been competing at Pipeline longer than Jack, who's 23 years of age now, longer than Jack has been alive. And now here he is, absolutely living the dream. So, Brooksy, here's where I want to start this morning. Your typical sporting athlete. Good morning to you, mate.
Morning,
your typical
Maddie.
Athlete. I mean, Jack, this is radio, but I think it's pretty easy to paint that picture of the kind of Jack that grew up and the Jack that is now carving it up on the world tour. So that's as typical as you're going to get. Typical tennis player. Now, I reckon tennis players are pretty easy to find. So I'm kind of thinking if you walk down the street and you see an athlete, do you know what kind of sport they're playing? A tennis player, quite possibly because most tennis players still wear their tennis gear when they're not playing tennis.
And generally, one arm is much bigger than the other. Because,
yes.
You know, let's face it, a lot of the work's done on the forehand
side. The big serve.
Yeah.
And the forehand. Right. So that's a pretty typical. Cricketers are kind of easy to spot. Zinc.
Stain on the pants.
Zinc, eh?
With the red.
Okay. The fluffy socks, the fluffy cricket socks, yeah. pretty easy. Look, if I saw Missile in the street and I didn't know who he was, I'd be betting that he's some kind of sprinter and some kind of swimmer.
Well, now it's like, you saw him this morning, mate. Yeah. You could say CrossFit.
CrossFit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What a specimen.
Bodybuilders are pretty easy to pick. Are there athletes, sports people who are hard to pick? Would you know a 10-pin bowler, for instance?
Oh, no, you could spot them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're always blowing on their fingers and they've got the clown shoes with the number on the back. You also know what size shoe they are just from looking at them, Matty.
All right. What makes a typical athlete? That's what we want to know. How do you put into a box the stereotypical athlete? We've got Jack Robinson coming up, and believe me, that's as stereotypical as you're going to get. A whole lot more to him, by the way. We're not just saying that the kids surf, but he's living the dream. Is there something that just identifies a typical athlete? And can you come up with an athlete that is really hard to identify just by looks? Do you say, that guy's a footy player? That girl's a cricket player? I'm trying to think outside the square. I mean, a badminton player. How do you pick that?
A famous person that you wouldn't, if you saw them and didn't know what they did as their profession, Cam Smith, golfer.
Yes.
I don't think you would have picked him as a golfer, would you?
No.
Because he's slender. He's sort of fit.
Yeah.
And he's got the mullet.
He'd be wearing the golf gear, though. More than likely.
I suppose.
Yeah. And let's face it, up until Cam made it famous again, who was really rocking the Penguin shirt? Just him. So pretty easy to identify. 0457 736 736. Jack Robinson, my special guest, coming up. Let's dig into the detail of what's been happening at Melbourne Park as we look towards the men's semi-finals. But the women's semi-finals yesterday were quite fascinating. So Elena Rybakina is in to her second Grand Slam final, her first at the Australian Open. Off the back of winning Wimbledon last year, she's gone through in straight sets against two-time Aussie Open champ Victoria Azarenka, 10 years apart in age. And then I see the headlines this morning, the Belarusian blast journalist fuming over the question. So we've dug into this throughout the course of the week about the media's role here and the player's role. And I told you that Victoria Azarenka is a thinker in the game. She's been around a long time and she's been through a heck of a lot. Now, off the back of the Novak Djokovic dad appearing in the pro-Putin photo and all that kind of stuff that's been going on there, she faces the media after losing a semi-final and comes up with an answer that I think was very intelligent, was very well thought out, and I don't know where it sits in the blast the journalists or fuming over the question, because in my opinion, this is an intelligent response. So let's have a little listen here to question and answer, and give me your opinion here. Is this the us versus them that the players are sick and tired and continue to talk about? Or is this just an answer that needed, a question that needed to be asked and an answer that was well thought out?
There's been a lot of scrutiny about a lot of the Russian and Belarusian players here, and I'm sure even if you weren't looking at social, you would have seen there was an incident with Novak's dad last night. For someone, is it difficult for you when you go out there to put all those things out of your mind as well? And, you know, do you think there are other players who get impacted by it?
Other players get impacted by what exactly you're asking me?
Distractions out of their hands and the constant sort of news and talk about
issues. News are coming from who?
Well, from everyone, social media.
You were here talking about it right now, so you obviously it's a topic that you want to continue to bring up and up and up again. So I don't know what do you want me to say?
For you, I mean, you were able to distance yourself from completely. Does it concern you at all? Do you think about it? As a fellow player, do you think it would have, how difficult that might be for Novak?
I don't know what it has to do with Novak at all, to be fair. So I've spoken to actually a security guard today who is walking me to practice every day. I know him for years, and I just asked him what was the accident last year. So he explained to me, you know, and... I don't know what you guys want us to do about it. Like, talk about it. I don't know what's the goal here. That it's continuously brought up, and these incidents that, in my opinion, have nothing to do with players, but somehow you keep dragging players into it. So, what's the goal here? I think you should ask yourself that question, not me.
So it's pretty heavy stuff, obviously, and the situation that they're talking about here is very, very serious. So when I see the old blast journalists and fuming over question, did you hear somebody fuming there? What I heard was a player who is very mature, who's been around a lot, who knows exactly where this is going to end. She knows that no matter what she says here, it's going to end with a headline, which was her point. And I back that point, because if she says something around the yes, there's a headline. If she says something around the no, there's the headline. You know what she did? She actually thought it out and ended up asking the question back to the journalist, saying, well, perhaps you should ask why we're talking about this. Guess what? That becomes a headline anyway. So Victoria Azarenka, to me, considered that very well. And when I heard that this morning, I read it before I saw it and heard it. But when I heard it and watched that replay this morning, the real part that jumped out at me was the very few first seconds when she's asked the question and she says nothing. She gives about 3 to 4 seconds where she thinks about what she's going to say. Now, your first reaction would be, really? Here we go again. Just lost a major semi-final. And this is what we're talking about. Are you guys kidding? I've had enough of this. All of that. Think about all of that. But what she did was took a breath, said nothing. And to me, what she didn't say first up was the most important part. And that's the situation that we're at when it comes to these big world issues that collide with big world sports. The journo, in my opinion, had the right to answer ask the question. Victoria Azarenka, in my opinion, answered the question very thoughtfully and very intelligently. 0457 736 736. Meanwhile, Aryna Sabalenka is through, and boy, is she on a run. So she disposed of Magda Linette 7-6, 6-2. So 3 times she's been to the semi-final stages of a major, and now she is through to her first final with 33 wins along the way. She's now 10-0 this season, and she has not dropped a set. So hasn't lost a set, hasn't therefore lost a match. She won the doubles back in 2021 at the Australian Open. So when it comes to head-to-head in the final on Saturday night, Sabalenka leads 3-0 over her opponent, Elena Rybakina. When it comes to the men's doubles semi-final last night or yesterday, Rinki Hijikata and Jason Kubler made it through. So they're into the final, a la the Special K's last year. We'll play a bit of audio a little bit later on because we're trying to still work out what's their nickname and why they need one. Don't know, but I think a lot of people are a bit stumped by this one. Really easy with Kokkinakis and Kyrgios and the Special K's. But when you got Hijikata and Kubler, how do you come up with the nickname there? The men's semifinals today, so you'll hear these both live on SEN. From 2:30, Karen Khachanov against Stefanos Tsitsipas. So live from 2:30 daylight saving time. And then tonight from 7:30, Novak Djokovic against the American Tommy Paul. So that's the men's semifinals live on SEN. In A-League, Sydney FC defeated Melbourne Victory 2-1 in the 60th Big Blue, and it's a good jump up the ladder for Sydney FC. And Ryan Grant will be joining us on the program this morning. 0457 736 736 is the number. What do you think about a couple of issues there? The Big Bash League is in danger of losing the access to the players on the field because Cricket Australia thinks that they should fine them for making comments under their breath or swearing under their breath. We'll dig a bit deeper into that. And also, the most typical athlete, how easy are they to spot? Or how difficult are they to spot? And can you get one that is going to stump us? Let us know your thoughts this morning. This Friday morning is underway.